today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. This is Charles.
Charlie Knapp here.
Courtney here.
All right. So we are down one today. Yes. We have a lot going on at TMZ today.
Yes,
a lot.
We do.
But we're going to get into some of the biggest stories first. And we'll start with a sad note and a really surprising one from the fashion world. Virgil Abloh, who was a huge, huge name in fashion, was the was running Louis Vuitton.
Mm-hmm. First black man to be in charge of Louis Vuitton. So he really broke down boundaries. A lot of people knew him from his work with Off-White, from his work with Nike, was this, you know, shoe creator that really broke a lot of barriers. He also had kind of a music side to him. He was a DJ. He had helped Kanye with Donda. He did some of the album covers for Kanye. So he was really connected in the entertainment industry. A lot of people knew him. I mean, the tributes that went up over the weekend were just so sad.
What was really surprising about this is apparently only very few people who were in his inner circle knew that he was battling cancer.
Yeah, it
was, died at
no
only,
one knew.
I mean, when I saw the headline, I was like, wait, how is Virgil Abloh? He's only, and it was, he died at 41. But a lot of people did not know, very few people knew that he had been battling cancer for quite some time. Among those who knew, we're told, is Kanye, who was very, very close with Virgil.
Him and Kanye were so close, but they also had a beef back a while ago because they didn't have that big moment when he took over Louis Vuitton and then they came out on stage and like they hugged. They didn't talk for a while, but I can't remember why.
Well, it was because Kanye was hoping, was the story back then, Kanye was hoping that Virgil would come with him and that they would...
Oh, to Adidas for all his like
Yeezys? Right.
Got you.
And instead he took the Louis Vuitton.
How could you not take that opportunity?
Yeah, exactly. So this was a big thing for Kanye, obviously, a big loss, but one he probably was aware, you know, since he was aware of his condition, knew that this was something that he was battling. But for everybody else in Hollywood and people who worked with him, they were absolutely shocked. And the tributes, like you said, were pouring in from everyone, Pharrell,
Gigi Hadid, Orlando Bloom. My whole entire feed was just filled with all the tributes for him.
Mine too.
It was super sad.
And I think you kind of think of like, wow, it's insane that he was battling this cancer, this like, you know, really aggressive, rare cancer, which actually was specifically a heart cancer that he was having that like really targets the heart. And it's very rare, like I said. But so it's crazy to see that he was battling this insane disease, but still able to do the amazing work that he did.
Doing. And just, I want to say it was last month he was seen, was it New York? There were photos of him walking around and he seemed...
He looked great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think...
he was at the Donda, he was at one of the Donda nights.
He went to one of the Donda shows also, was there to support Kanye and, you know, just to know that that's something else that Kanye was probably dealing with at the time, knowing what his friend was going through.
Right.
And we had no idea, so.
He really helped the brand of Louis Vuitton because it made like, he like made all these like cool designs. He got it like young again. He really like gave it like a fresh start. So it's just super sad to like see like this type of creative person just gone so soon.
Another thing too, I don't know if you guys thought about like Chadwick Boseman. Like remember he was privately struggling, battling cancer and then no one really knew until it kind of came out and everyone was shocked. But the thing with Virgil is, like we said, we saw photos of him and he did not look ill or like he was physically battling this thing. And so it just seemed like it came out of nowhere. But you just never know what people are going through. And that is the moral of the story.
Yeah. Really, really sad loss at only 41 years old. Okay. Let's move on to something else that affected Kanye this weekend. Kanye is in the middle of an absolute full court press to get Kim Kardashian back. And it's what's odd about it is it's coming at the exact, and I don't know if this is coincidence.
Maybe
probably
it's
not,
triggering it.
That is coming at the exact same time that Kim and Pete Davidson are more and more public about their relationship. And yet you have Kanye this weekend putting on so much pressure. It started way back the day before Thanksgiving when he had this whole, he went to a LA mission to donate food and everything, and which was great. But while there, he got on the mic and then he said, God is going to put me back together with Kim. God wants us to be back together, that this is the way of the kingdom. We will be together, and it's going to inspire millions of other families that are dealing with separation or divorce, and this is going to be great for the entire world.
And that was kind of coming on the heels of the photos of Pete Davidson sporting a hickey.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
This is obviously driving him crazy, but this has to drive her crazy that he keeps doing this. He keeps making these public things.
So the next thing he did was that he posted a photo from, I want to say 2018 or 2019 of...
I think it was 2018.
Of Kim and himself kissing while they're on vacation in the Bahamas.
So much.
And he attached to it our post about him saying that God wants them to be back together.
And he tagged her.
And tagged him as well. So that's huge public pressure to say, look, this is the way I want it to be. I think this is what's best. Look, from everything that we've been told by people in the know with Kim and Kanye, she's going forward with this divorce.
Right.
It's not like
no
she's
turning back.
It's not like she's
sitting
there going.
She looks very happy with Pete.
Yes, she does.
It's not like she's on the fence. She's moving forward completely with the divorce. And, you know, as that's happening, you wonder if the lawyers are saying anything to Kanye or if Kanye's just ignoring their phone calls because he's not talking divorce. He's not thinking anything about
a
divorce.
Remember, he tried to say, like, I never got the divorce papers. Yep, so he's keeps like calling turning her a blind wife. Eye. But it's interesting, too, because we know, I mean, obviously there was a lot of reasons why they had gotten a divorce. But one of the reasons was that he was living in Wyoming and she was living in L.A. and they kind of were living these separate lives. Well, you know, now he is selling his Wyoming ranch. He is selling all of his trucks. He's fully moving into Malibu. Remember, he bought that house for $50 million. Yeah. We know he's doing renovations on it. So he's like...
He's
still
coming back
staying
to
in
LA.
LA.
Yeah. And
he's
Kim
back to
loves
LA.
To go to Malibu because that's where Nobu is. So he's just moving right into her neighborhood.
Yeah.
But you know what?
You think he bought the $50 million house just to be closer to Nobu?
Yes. So he can always be there. He can just always stop
their
by.
Place.
But you know what I'm thinking? This has to drive Kim crazy because if Kanye is saying this to the public, what is he saying to the kids? Like, you know, he's like probably telling North, like, oh, mommy and daddy are going to get back together.
You don't know that. You don't
know
that.
Well, they're probably watching it online too.
I would hope that he's leaving the kids out of it.
But you know they see it. You know that they see it. Online.
His kids are on
More
TikTok now.
Yeah,
so.
I love all. It's sad how much I watch their kids on TikTok.
I know,
they have
too.
Really good posts.
And one of the most extraordinary things he did in this full court press is that he called it a Thanksgiving prayer. And it was like a 5-minute, it was a video, but it's just him speaking. And the video he used was from one of the Sunday morning services. But it was him explaining, like admitting he had problem that he'd been drinking too much. And that shortened his temper, which was already short.
Yeah.
Already had a short fuse. He said that, look, he admitted that when he ran for president, he did things that really pissed off his wife. And
he made some horrible comments about their family publicly when he was running for president.
He admitted all that. And he said that she was just trying to be a dutiful wife and that she wanted to protect me and that I was saying and doing things. He said that she was pissed off about him wearing the MAGA hat. And he seemed to be saying, look, I made bad decisions for my family and I want to correct that. I want us to be together.
But sometimes it's
too late.
I
gotta tell you, I felt bad for the guy. I really felt bad for him. And I know, this is my question, I listened to that prayer and I felt bad for Kanye, but I guess you kind of got to feel bad for Kim also, right?
Yeah, that she's been through all that.
It's also
she did stick
all and she made
aside.
A decision.
And it's also a lot of pressure when you've moved on with somebody else and you have your ex-husband trying to come back into the picture, which, by the way, you know, on the other side, Kim and Pete still going fully strong. They were out in Beverly Hills Hotel,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
And a fan had got a photo with Kim separately and then Pete Davidson separately
the
when
fan,
they were there
the way,
at breakfast.
Yeah, and that fan happened to be a journalist in the Netherlands. So he was very proud, sent this. I think he said he was on the phone with his mother when he saw them and decided, Mom, I'm going over to see if I can get a selfie with him. And he got it. But
Do you think
the
that
fact
they
that they
were
out together again in public at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Mm-hmm. Again, we all keep saying this. There are a handful of places where you can go and you know that people are either going to take photos or they are definitely going to talk about you and you're going to end up, you know, on someone's blog.
Yep.
And if you go to the Beverly Hills Hotel together.
That's one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you think that photos were at Giorgio Baldi, yeah, which is another huge hotspot where paparazzi are.
But did they were like, do you think that they told the person we had to take the photos separate at the hotel?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
But they like, weren't gonna you could tell with the palm because trees, a photo with them, like, come on.
A photo with them together
oh my gosh,
would have been
insane.
Ridiculous. So they said, yeah, we'll just do it separately. And I just think for Kim, I don't know how you move. Isn't that awkwardness? So Kim goes out and meets Pete. Do you think Pete is unaware of all the things that Kanye is posting?
Oh, no. He knows.
So now you got to have this conversation about, so what's the deal? Are you getting back together with your ex? Or because
yeah,
he seems to
awkward.
Think you're getting back together.
But Kanye was with Irina Shayk in Paris. So it's not like he hasn't dated people. So for him to like just like make this hard turn, like, oh, I never wanted to like leave you. It's like, you were hooking up with the model. So let's not
I will
not
just
ask.
Say this for guys.
Oh, God. I can't wait.
It's a lot harder when you see your ex with someone else, then you realize, oh, crap. Oh, crap. I don't. That it's different for Kanye to go out and date someone. I'm not saying it's right. I'm not saying it's right.
Uh-huh.
Just saying, just generally speaking, this is how men think.
Also, yeah. I think, too, there's something to be said about guys try to move on quicker, but then in the end regret things. And then women, you know, first are very sad for a while and then move on.
And then you see them with someone else and you're like, thank God it's her problem now. Like, amen. Like,
yep.
Have it.
So I don't know how that's going to turn out. It sounds, right now, it sounds like it's going to turn out with Kanye being heartbroken when the divorce papers.
By the way,
if he ever accepts them.
By the way, such an about face to that interview that he did, what was it, a month ago, where he said he was the one that came up with the divorce idea. He wanted to divorce Kim and all that. And then now all of a sudden he's like, I want her back. I want to work things out. Just felt like everything has kind of changed since the Pete situation.
I just let you into the male psyche, okay?
I know. We learned
that's
a lot today.
Win.
Don't tell anybody, all right? All right. Let's move on to Texas.
Oh, Matthew McConaughey.
He's out of Texas and the run for governor, and Matthew McConaughey will not be part of it.
It's so sad.
After all of the polls, which were screaming that if you run, Matt, he'll win. That he would beat Greg Abbott, the incumbent.
He didn't have much of a stand, it was still like he was winning.
So he, as Matt McConaughey is wont to do, had a very lengthy, very wordy explanation for why he was not going to be running for governor of Texas.
As a simple kid born in the little town of Uvalde, Texas, it never occurred to me that I would one day be considered for political leadership. It's a humbling and inspiring path to ponder. It is also a path that I'm choosing not to take at this moment. What am I going to do? I'm going to continue to work and invest the bounty I have by supporting entrepreneurs, businesses, and foundations that I believe are leaders, establishments that I believe are creating pathways for people to succeed in life. And politicians, well, the good ones can help us get to where we need to go, yeah. But let's be clear, they can't do anything for us unless we choose to do for ourselves.
He is a good-looking man. Everyone, like, watching that video of him, you just still want him to run. But he didn't say that he wouldn't run in the future. So
it's not fully off the table.
It's not, like, I'm hoping. He said that it's humbling, that he's not doing it. But I still have hope for the great state of Texas.
He still didn't really tip his hat as to which party he would be running for. I mean,
no,
everyone said,
why take his side right now?
He didn't say, I mean, and this is, you're right, probably why he was doing so well in the polls, hadn't really put out his political platform
right.
at mm-hmm. all. So
the only thing
everybody
we know
loves
about,
you.
He said that he did believe in the mask mandate, but didn't believe children should be mm-hmm. forced to wear the mask mandate. So it's kind of like on two different sides in a way, but yeah, a little confusing.
He remained firmly on the fence, which I guess is also smart because if he does decide to run down the line, nobody can take shots at him in the meantime.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the door is open. He's just not going to run this time. He's not going to run next year. And
it was a very political video, though, because he had like the flag like in the background and his hair was like nice and slicked back. You could tell like he did it. It wasn't just like the long like surfer hair that he normally has.
He did say that he like, you know, you heard him say that he still wants to be involved and wants to support people who are going to actually mm-hmm. make certain decisions. I guess maybe that's how we'll get a reading on which party he's leaning toward. Who are the people that he's supporting that he says he's going to be backing and the causes that he's going to back. So right. We'll see. But Matt not tipping, not saying which party he's going for yet.
Would you move to Texas if he did run to vote for him?
Charles no, in Texas.
Really?
You can picture Charles and Cowboys cowboy hat.
I see it.
They have great barbecues.
They
also
really
there.
Do.
I love Texas. What do you mean, Charles in Texas? I would move to Texas regardless.
I would love that show, Charles in Texas.
It has nothing to do with Matthew McConaughey, whether I would move to Texas. It's just the heat I can't deal with. It's too damn hot.
It's super hot.
Some sad news about Teyana Taylor, but she's going to be okay. The sad news is that she is checked into a hospital, and as she put it, her body just gave out.
Checked into the ER, actually. It was a pretty serious situation. So basically, she was supposed to have a show in Connecticut, but canceled it last minute and posted a photo for her fans to see. Basically, you see her in a hospital bed. She has like IVs hooked up to her. And she explained that her body just literally gave out, and she kind of cursed her body like, I wish I could go on, like, kind of thing. But explains that it sounded like she was trying to say she was dehydrated, right? Because she said, I got my exhaustion.
Yeah.
She just said that she got, like, an IV in her with, like, nutrients to help, like, revive her. Of course, she, like, hopes to reschedule the Connecticut show.
So, I don't know why this is just so shocking to me, because her body is insane. She's such good shape. And she gave birth in her bathroom, so I feel like she's almost like a superhero.
I think the reason that this was so shocking to her fans is that, you know, she made it very public a while ago that she had found lumps in her breast.
And oh,
that she went in, had a biopsy. But she said it turned out fine. And I think when she checked in the hospital like that, the first concern was, oh, crap.
Ooh, she's back there for that.
Is it, has something to do with that? Is it cancer? She said that when she had the biopsy, when she had the lumps removed, that they were fine. That was the only thing she said about it was fine. So it doesn't seem like that's what it is. And like you said, she says it's that she was exhausted.
Right.
And even said that she tried to go. She was actually at the venue, was going to get on stage. And at the last moment, just realized she could not do it. So
that's insane.
But it sounds like she is going to be okay. She's got the IV, and she's going to reschedule, as you said. So not the worst news. And sometimes people just need a break, you know?
Totally. And that's I felt like that before our Thanksgiving break. I was like, my body's going to give out.
But your body just says, hey, it's time to take a break. So
see, I thought that after Thanksgiving break. I was like, oh, I need to come back to work today.
That's
my body needs
just
a break.
Being tired from overeating.
Too much pumpkin pie.
That's
something like that.
Yeah, it's a little different. All right, let's get to a mystery. A big mystery that some royal watchers think has been solved, although the palace is denying this. So you remember that when Harry and Meghan did their big sit-down with Oprah, probably the biggest shocker, the biggest revelation from that was when they both said that someone in the royal family was alarmed at what Archie's skin color might be when he was born.
Right, and they had ruled
like,
out
if he was just too dark?
They ruled out the that queen. It wasn't the queen, it wasn't Prince Philip, so everyone's wondering who made this, you know, comment
was it Prince
about
William?
The
was
color
it Prince
of his
Charles?
Skin.
Well, there is a new book out by a guy named Christopher Anderson. It's called Brothers and Wives, Inside the Private Lives of William, Kate, Harry, and Meghan. And in that book, he has a very detailed conversation between Prince Charles and Camilla, his wife Camilla. And according to this book, anyway, it's Prince Charles who was concerned about Archie's skin color. And that it's weird in that you just wonder, I'm reading this because it is a very detailed conversation between them.
Right.
And Charles says this to Camilla, and Camilla says,
he says, what do you think the baby will look like? And then Camilla, like, you know, awkwardly says, like, well, you know, beautiful,
sure,
of course.
Be a beautiful, beautiful child.
Yeah,
and then he says, but what if he's too dark? And
what about the complexion, I think he said.
it is so detailed, you have to go, on the one hand, you go, well, it's got to be true because it's so detailed. And on the other hand, you go like, well, how would he find out?
Totally,
how would
there's
Chris
no
Anderson,
one else there.
A conversation between husband and wife.
Right. So who told him about this? I don't know. The palace says it's all BS and that this guy made it up, which is entirely possible also.
What is his connection to the palace?
He's a royal watcher.
He's one of the royal, reporters. He actually does get a lot of information and is really well known in reporting on the royals. So,
but a hardcore, like, intimate conversation between husband and wife. But I feel like how?
It almost sounded like he had literally word for word of what was said in this private conversation. But then, of course, you know, like I said, like everyone's wondering, well, how do you know like these specifics? Like this was a private conversation.
Well,
you
I guess Harry
there.
And Meghan have they had to find out somehow.
Well, everyone thought that once they said it wasn't the Queen and it wasn't Prince Philip, it's pretty much was either it was either William or Charles.
Right.
Camilla's not going to say anything like that, right? I mean,
no. Neither is Kate Middleton.
Oh, the look on Charles' face right now.
Okay. I mean, her
okay.
and Meghan did okay. not
that's what you want. That's how you want to look at it. The palace is saying it's not Charles, but it's still, to me, it's either Charles or William. And even if it wasn't this conversation specifically, it still could have been Charles. This conversation that he that he's published could be total BS, and the palace is right. But that doesn't mean that he isn't the one who had the concern.
He's not fully ruled out.
Right.
Right.
Either way, it does, this book is not going to do, when you read the title, everyone was hoping that William and Harry were going to mend fences and that they were going to come back together. And
we've seen them walk together, like, since
but not,
then. I mean, they're not chummy.
At the funeral.
Right.
And it wasn't that long.
Right.
Like,
and they,
I don't know.
And they
it
did
is
the event
rough.
Together for
Princess
Diana.
The statue that was put up in her honor.
But I don't feel like this does not bode well for them.
No.
Actually patching things up.
No. Still going to have that rift between them.
Mm-hmm. So,
it's so sad. They're both handsome like brothers. You want them to get along. I don't know why the handsome has to do anything with it.
Yeah, why does it?
I don't know. You just wanted to like, I don't know. You
so basically, Courtney wishes good things for good looking people and ugly people.
They're kind of losing their hair,
Courtney. Because they were like so cute growing up together. I feel like you watch them. So like now when you see them just like fall apart, you're like, what is happening? Used to be like the closest family.
And also Meghan had her second kid, Lilibet, and they haven't even, I don't think they even met Lilibet yet.
Yeah, like the
they
cousins even no, met.
Yeah, that's so
that's
crazy.
That's so crazy.
Hey, they left the royal family.
Yeah,
so
but so did King,
and
who was the king that
All right,
that
let's not
abdicated.
Get into royal history.
Oh, I was like, I don't even know. King James II,
hey,
maybe?
Before we go, I want to ask you guys something. What did you, because Harvey texted me last night and would not stop about the Beatles special.
Oh, I have yet to
the
watch
Beatles
it.
Special.
The Beatles
was
documentary.
So good.
If you haven't heard about it or seen it, it's on Disney Plus, and it is extraordinary. It's 8 hours of footage of the band in 1970.
Yeah,
January of 1970, getting ready for a special.
The Let
that
It
was basically
Be.
Going to be let. It's basically the making of Let It Be.
Yeah,
and. It's a lot of, I haven't watched all of it yet. I watched
Charles,
the first
episode. You have to watch it. It's 8 hours.
So
it's a commitment.
Are the guys, like, the ones that are surviving, obviously, are they talking about it? Like, doing
no,
interviews?
No, so it's all
or
just,
who narrates
no,
it?
It's all
no
just
narration.
Footage.
It's,
oh, wow. it's all just footage from the 1970s. And it's so weird because it feels like you're watching something like being made today that's just like set. So,
wow.
Two things that stood out to me. And I don't know if you thought about this when you were watching it.
Yeah.
Do you know how old they were at the time?
Like in their 20s, like early
in their
20s.
Late 20s. Mid to late 20s. And they look, I mean, I guess because there's the Beatles and you always think of them as being older, but they're kids.
They're really
young in this. And they do seem, but they're, I mean, look, they'd been at
it's
that
so
point,
crazy because, you know, at that point it was Beatlemania, but when you're watching them, they don't seem to like really like give off that persona.
They
like,
seem
it's
a little
so,
bit like a garage band.
Yes, it's
sitting
so
sitting around jamming,
crazy.
Trying to figure out a song.
Rolling Stones fan coming out
and
swinging.
Hey, did you hear all the digs?
Point.
John Lennon had some beef with the Rolling Stones. It was like every other like 5 minutes, he would take like a little jab about like the Rolling Stones. And I was like, this was like a real thing back then. It was so crazy. But don't worry, they made fun of Elvis too.
So
that makes you feel any better.
I hesitate. Elvis. No, here's the thing. I don't mind their digs at the Rolling Stones. I get it. You know, look, they say that, what did Paul say, that the Rolling Stones are basically a blues cover band?
Yes.
Right.
That's not entirely inaccurate.
Right.
But here's my
taking
issue.
Ownership.
Here's my issue. If you watch this, that's basically what the Beatles were doing. They were a blues cover band. They're sitting there making up songs.
No.
They were playing, when you're playing live, they're just playing blues chords.
Charles, when you watch these men
John
create
Lennon,
these songs.
John Lennon and George Harrison are playing basic blues riffs. That's fine. And Paul McCartney is just making up lyrics to go
you
over
You are
it.
Crazy.
That's what they were
they
doing.
They all know how
That's
to play
exactly
all
what
these
they were doing.
Different instruments. It was like watching Picasso paint. It was so cool to watch. You guys, it was amazing.
Wow,
I actually,
someone just discovered what it's like to make music. That's the process.
No, because how I like watch stuff now, it's all like auto tune and like what like mixes you can make.
Because you have poor taste in music now.
Hey, that is not true.
Some good singers and artists
out there. You're taking jabs at every single artist right now.
I'm just saying that it is extraordinary and you should watch it.
Can I also say,
it also shows that the Beatles at their base were a blues band. That's what all British invasion bands were doing.
Mm-hmm.
They were just doing their version of American blues. That's it.
No.
So,
by the way,
you are just such a hater. You like were trying to like give an apology and like kind of own up to it, but then you were just like, nope.
Stopped. By the way,
I will say Yoko Ono is kind of vindicated. That band was breaking up long
over
before.
Her.
No, it was
wasn't
not.
That the whole rumor?
The story that
it was
thinks.
Such a lie. And like, yeah, was she aggressively there? Like, she didn't need to be there until the entire time. But those boys were already breaking up. It was already done. George Harrison, like, quit. It was a whole thing. I was like, this poor lady has been just beaten up by all these Beatle fans. Ugh.
And here's what happens when young people finally discover the Beatles. Watch the special and you'll sound just like Courtney.
Oh, gosh.
That is going to do it for us. We will see you guys. By the way, make sure that you are checking out the TMZ podcast everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah,
Spotify, Google. Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. YouTube, we're also on. If you want to see our beautiful faces.
Our faces. all right. That's going to do it for us. We will see you next time.
See you guys.
See ya.